the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning, the first day of spring. We're so glad that you are tuning your heart to the truth. It's also the feast day of our wonderful Saint Joseph, husband of Mary. Damien, good morning. It's a great day today. Big day.
No, us Sicilians, this is our day, I could tell you. San Giuseppe, pray for us, and we are going to offer up a prayer to Saint Joseph. One that a lot of people say to get their day started each and every day. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Saint Joseph, whose protection is so great, so prompt, so strong before the throne of God, I place in you all my interests and desires. O Saint Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession and obtain for me from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having engaged here below your heavenly power, I may offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. O Saint Joseph, I never weary contemplating you and Jesus asleep in your arms. I dare not approach while he reposes near your heart. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me, and ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about St. Joseph, if we don't know a lot already, later on during today's show. But hey, we have some new listeners all the time, so maybe this is your first time getting to know a little bit about this wonderful saint. So stay with us. That's coming up later today. At 10 after, we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of these events at our website calendar right now at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Claudia McAdam joins us once again. She is a Catholic author, and she is always writing some new books. Well, this one is a wonderful book for children called St. Paul's Nephew to the Rescue. It rhymes, and I already love it. So looking forward to speaking to Claudia and getting to know a little bit about this wonderful book. And in 35 minutes, Stephen Nelson joins us. You probably heard him a few shows back when he was discussing the Magdalena Prayer Book. That's what his last interview was about. Well, this time he is our guest for our Conversion Corner segment, which is where we invite people to talk about their stories on what brought them into the Catholic faith. It's always so inspiring. I love hearing about these wonderful conversion stories. So looking forward to our conversation with Stephen today. And Damien, it probably doesn't feel like the first day of spring outside, but it is the first day of spring. What is the weather looking like today?
Well, old man winter just doesn't want to go away and make room for spring, but spring is here on this St. Joseph Day. Plenty of sunshine will eventually warm up, though. High's going to be 66, low 43, light winds out of the east at 5 miles an hour, so it really won't be too bad once things do heat up. Wednesday will be more like spring. We're going to have a high of 73. And looking ahead to Thursday and Friday, we have rain in the forecast. Basically a 70% chance for Thursday and Friday, but that's okay because Saturday and Sunday is going to be perfect. So we got to take the good with the bad. Temperatures in and around the area. Home at Thibodeau right now, 44 degrees. Warm spot, New Orleans, it's 45. Covington, 37, and in Biloxi as well as Baton Rouge, we're reporting 39 degree temperatures. So, any plans for this St. Joseph Day? You're going to an altar or two, Gabby?
I wasn't planning on it. I saw one over the weekend, and it was absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. I know our church parish is having a very large one as well, and I've been seeing some pictures already on social media. So, I did mine over the weekend.
Okay, you got a fava bean and lucky bean or whatever?
Yes, I do, actually.
Well, good. I do. All right. Mm-hmm. It's 5 after. We've got the gospel coming your way next.
Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker, in a blessed solemnity of St. Joseph, who is the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today's Gospel comes to us from Matthew, chapter 1. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
In Matthew's concluding list of 14 generations, he reveals the birth of Jesus. It was the marvel that the divine intervention supplements the order of nature. The Word of God leaps into human history, which was made for him. Both in the faith of Abraham and the royalty of David, everything before, in between, and after are united and fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the last in a long genealogy, but he gives meaning and fame to all his ancestors. It is in Jesus that mankind discovers its hidden possibilities. Jesus will be the Savior of a very different kind from the one many in Israel expected or wanted, or for that matter, many of us want. Jesus is coming to claim back his own, not to release us in our own desired ways. Our salvation detaches us from that part of ourselves, those habits, tendencies, and distorted appetites that would destroy the bonds of our relationship with God and establish us as fake deities on the altar of self-love. No wonder St. John warns us, "Little children, stay clear of idols." Here is the principle. Until our lives are reorientated toward God and doing what He wants, our endeavors in any field of human activity can only be a function of our sinfulness and egoism. They will not meet the test of eternity. Jesus comes as the fulfillment of God's design. In Matthew's Gospel, God is the chief actor, which is why he frequently uses the phrase that such and such a prophecy may be fulfilled. Mary's womb became the center of the universe where the Holy One dwells. In this, she is the archetype of redeemed creation, for our deepest vocation is to become a divine vessel. Therefore, St. Paul asks, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Then he warned, "If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and that temple are you." Wow, that's quite a destiny. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy. It is 11 after the hour on this Tuesday morning. You're watching and listening to Wake Up. So glad you could join us. Tune your heart to the truth. Tune your heart to some events in our area coming up. The Light is on. Reconciliation at St. Anselm in Madisonville will be tomorrow. Confession will be available in all the church parishes from 5 to 6:30. The same evening at 6:30, St. Anselm will also be hosting Theology on Tap at Fat Boys Pizza. That's on Highway 21 in Covington with Father David Doyle. He's the speaker this week. And he will. They continue their series with the Eucharistic Revival series going on. There's a few more weeks that they're going to do this for sure at Fat Boys Pizza, again, beginning at 6:30. Confessions at St. Anselm, 5 to 6:30. And also check your bulletins for church parishes in and around the New Orleans Archdiocese.
Very nice. Well, tonight and tomorrow evening, St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington will have its Parish Lenten Mission with Father Brian Howard. There will be confession tonight from 6:30 to 8:30, and the presentation starts at 6:30, but you have opportunities for confession throughout that time as well. Reception to follow at St. Mary's Hall. You can go to ccmedia.live for all of these times.
All righty. And the Pregnancy Services, a program in the Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, they need your help. They are in desperate need of diapers. That's right, diapers, as well as wipes for new and expectant mothers, with more than 12,000 diapers distributed each and every month. That's hard to believe. They are struggling to keep up with that demand. Every donation is going to count. So if you have an opportunity, you can go to ccano.org/pregnancy, ccano.org/pregnancy, and find out what you can do and where you can go to drop off diapers to help those needy mothers.
Very nice. A wonderful cause to support as well. Well, happening over at St. Jude the Apostle Church in Baton Rouge, they will be hosting a men's retreat. The date is Saturday, March 23rd, and it's called You're a Good Man, My God-Given Dignity and Purpose. The retreat is $15 per person. Lunch and study materials are provided. It's from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., and the presenters are Deacon Michael Parker and Mr. Scott LaSavio. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
And you can make plans to attend the third annual Messengers of Hope Gala. It's to support St. Jared Magella Catholic School in the Baton Rouge area. It's going to be Sunday. It's April 7th at White Oak Estates and Gardens. Chef John Fulce will be preparing a fantastic dinner. There's going to be a social along with a silent and live auction. In fact, Jacob Zumo will have a number of his works there as part of the auction. All proceeds go to support the necessary improvements of St. Jared Magella Catholic School. And if you want more information, you can go to ccmedia.live.
Wonderful. Real quick, Monday, March 25th, to kick off Holy Week, St. Catherine of Siena is inviting everyone to a night of music and reflection from 7:30 to 8:30, again on Monday, March 25th.
Alrighty, there you go. Those are some events. Of course, you can find them all at ccmedia.live on our calendar. It's 15 after the hour. We're coming back with more on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 19th. Today we celebrate St. Joseph. There is so little we know of St. Joseph. What we do know, of course, is that he was the husband of Mary and the foster father of Jesus. He was a blue-collar worker, a carpenter by trade. He was, as Scripture tells us, a righteous or just man. By saying Joseph was just, the Bible means that he was completely open to all that God wanted to do for him. Joseph became holy by totally opening himself to God. But there is so much more we would like to know about him. How did he feel about the dreams that Scripture tells us he experienced? What was life like for him and his family after they fled to Egypt to avoid King Herod? What kinds of father-son conversations did he and Jesus have as they worked side by side? Despite the abundance of questions and the lack of answers, devotion to St. Joseph runs deep. He is the patron of fathers, workers, and the universal church. He is also the patron of a happy death because his wife and son are thought to have been present when he died, likely before Jesus began his public ministry. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. We're so glad to have you join us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. And our first guest today is Claudia McAdam. She's a Catholic author, and we talk to her a few times a year because she just does not stop writing these wonderful books. And today we are talking about a new children's book she has called St. Paul's Nephew to the Rescue. Hey, Claudia, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, I love getting your emails when you tell me that you have a new book coming out, and this one is absolutely adorable. So take us through it.
Thank you. It's published by Our Sunday Visitor, and it's called St. Paul's Nephew to the Rescue. Now, this story, it's a picture book, so it's fully illustrated, and it's based on a true story that we find in the Bible, but hardly anybody knows that St. Paul's nephew actually saved his uncle's life. So in my story, I show that St. Paul has been imprisoned, really under the guardianship of the Romans in the Antonia Fortress, because a riot started with his presence in the temple. The people who opposed him and what he teaches started a riot, and the Romans intervened to protect Paul. So they sequestered him away in the fortress. And in the meantime, these angry men are plotting to kill him. They're making a plan to have him have the Sanhedrin request a meeting with Paul. And their plan is, when Paul's brought out from the fortress, they're going to jump him and kill him. And St. Paul's nephew, he overhears this plot. And even though he's small and he's afraid, he knows he has to do something. And so he courageously informs the Romans who are guarding his uncle about the plan to kill Paul. And what he tells them saves his uncle's life.
Wow. Okay. I was not familiar with that story at all. I thought it was actually fiction, but the fact that, thank you, Claudia. That is so cool. So what kind of message do you hope that kids will take away when they read a story like this?
Well, I hope that first of all, people understand that there are stories that may be very short passages in the Bible. And this story, by the way, is in Acts 23. So it's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23. And the part about St. Paul's nephew only takes up 7 verses. So it's a very small part of this chapter of Acts. And while I've relayed the factual information, I've also fictionalized the name. For example, the name of this boy, I give him a name. We don't have a name for him in the Bible. And that, you know, and some of the obstacles he comes up against and what he's trying to do. But what I hope is that people realize that every word in the Bible is there for a reason, and that there are some wonderful stories to dive more deeply into when we slow down and we read and we stop and we think about what we're reading. And more than that, with this particular story, I hope that children learn that the cardinal virtues are important: prudence and justice, fortitude, temperance, that they can draw upon the same courage that my young character in this book did when they see a wrong, and that they can be brave enough to do something to right that wrong.
I love that. What is the age group you were kind of gearing this book toward?
You know, I think it appeals to kids of all ages, really, but ideally these picture books are, you know, 4 to 8 year old kind of range. But okay. I think with all my books, they're more, I think of them as a family book, where you sit down with the family, and I know this in my own family, you sit down to read with a younger child, and the older ones kind of gather around too. They're interested. So it's a family story to be shared. And because of that, I always produce a discussion and activities guide for each of my books. It's available for free at my website, which is ClaudiaMcAdam.com. And you can go there and request that. And it's chock full of fun things to do, like a word search and a maze and fill in the blank, that type of thing, coloring page. But there's also some deeper parts to it, where you can enter into some discussion questions with kids on how they might stand up to bullies or step out of their comfort zone when they see a wrong being faced by somebody else, to try to help other people. So I try to go deeper, where teachers or parents, grandparents, homeschooling groups, whatever, can get deeper into the story and draw more out of it.
I love it. It also incorporates, obviously, scripture. At a young age, we certainly don't anticipate our four-year-olds to open the Bible and start reading. A lot of them can't read at 4 years old. Usually that starts in kindergarten, first grade. But having some, and we don't, you know, expect the parents to open the Bible and read it, of course, but to have books like this where our children can understand at their age level. Talk about how important it is to maybe introduce scripture at that young age through books like these where they can understand and see the pictures come to life.
I think it's really helpful. I mean, it helps kids at a very young age enter into what we can think of as Ignatian spirituality, where you take a portion of the Bible and you put yourself in that scene. You become one of the characters. I mean, kids do this all the time when they read a book. They become that character, and it helps them enter into the story more fully and to see and hear and smell and taste all the things that are going on with these characters in that story. And for this book in particular, I have reprinted in the back that portion of the chapter of Acts of the Apostles actually from Scripture so that parents could read that part of the Bible to their kids so that they know that my story, yes, it's historical fiction, but it is historical and it's based on something that we read in the Bible. So it's never too early to introduce kids to the beautiful pearls of wisdom that we find in sacred Scripture.
I love that. Well, Claudia, I mentioned earlier how a few times a year we do have you on our morning show to talk about the books that you have written. And I mean, you are always writing some wonderful books for children. What is your inspiration behind writing something like this? What is something that motivates you to continue to produce these wonderful books for our kids?
Well, Gabby, thank you so much for that. I love Scripture. I read the Bible through every year. I have a master's degree in Catholic theology with a focus on sacred Scripture because it really speaks to me. It helps me learn and love Jesus better. And so when I read something in the Bible about a character who actually lived, and I think to myself, wow, I didn't know that. What lessons does that have for a child? I love to be able to then tease that story out and expand upon it. So this story of St. Paul's nephew hit me a long time ago. Every time I'd read that passage in Acts of the Apostles, I would wonder about this boy who did something brave to save St. Paul's life and think about what's the story behind that. So I created more depth to the story. Thanks be to God, he has put some wonderful opportunities in my path that have allowed me to write these books, and I've given my work over entirely to the Lord and said, if you think these are valuable, you will see that they are published. And when I send them off, I've been blessed to have found publishers for so many of these books.
Claudia.
I love it.
Claudia, this is Damien. How much of divine intervention? You say you kind of elaborate a little bit more, put your own thoughts in it, but do those thoughts come from a spiritual prayer in the process? In other words, who's to say that it may not be true?
You know what? I do depend on my prayer life quite a bit. I frequently will take a manuscript that I'm working on into the Adoration Chapel with me and just sit there and share that with the Lord and just open my mind up to whatever thoughts might come or as you say, inspiration. But yes, and then sometimes people say to me, well, where did you get the idea to write this book? And you know what? Often I can't go back and pinpoint a time. It's as if something was planted in my heart that has blossomed over time that comes to fruition in a book like this. But I can't say, oh, I was just smacked in the face with this idea on such and such a day. Oftentimes I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's neat, though.
I love it. I like how you bring the manuscript into the Adoration Chapel and kind of talk with God about it in your hands. I really do like that. It really shows in your writings as well. Claudia McAdam joins us. She's a Catholic author, and we're talking about her new book, St. Paul's Nephew to the Rescue. It's a very wonderful, cute children's book that you can go and check out and purchase for your family. Claudia, where can our listeners and viewers pick up their own copy?
You know, you can buy this book at online retailers, at your local Catholic bookstore. If they don't have it, they can get it for you. You can go to the publisher's website, Our Sunday Visitor, so OSV Catholic Bookstore. Or you can go to my website, and I have links there to where you can get the book. And also, I have a book trailer, so if you want to get a little insight into what this book looks like with the beautiful illustrations of Dave Hill and a little bit of the storyline, you can get that there, too. So ClaudiaMcAdam.com is a great place to start.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Claudia McAdam, Catholic author of the new book, St. Paul's Nephew to the Rescue. Claudia, thank you so much for being with us. And it won't be long. We'll have you back on to talk about the next book that you've released. Thank you so much.
Thank you both. God bless you.
God bless.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there are so many St. Joseph's altars taking place today. Definitely check a look at our website calendar at ccmedia.live. And you can go and just go in and witness the beauty and the colors and the just abundance of things that make up this beautiful display, this beautiful altar, especially today on the Feast of St. Joseph. Like I said, ccmedia.live. Check out that events calendar to find one near you. All right, coming up next, Stephen Nelson joins us with our Conversion Corner segment. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back to Wake Up. It's 35 after the hour. We're going to have Steve Nelson in just a minute. Yes. But as we departed that last segment and Gabby was mentioning St. Joseph altars, definitely wanted to talk about the one in downtown Baton Rouge at St. Joseph Cathedral. And that's primarily because the cathedral's named after Giuseppe. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a big event. The public viewing is from 9 to 3, so it's all day. And there's yes. going to be a mass at 12:05, the blessing of the altar, then a traditional meatless meal in the parish hall to follow the mass, and tonight a special organ recital at 7 o'clock.
Very cool.
So, yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on downtown for St. Joseph Day today.
Thank you so much, Damian. Stephen Nelson joins us. He's our next guest for our Conversion Corner segment. You've heard him on Wake Up talking about his new book, The Magdalena Prayer Book. He's a Catholic author. Well, today he's going to be telling us his story and conversion to the Catholic faith. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hello, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
We are doing so well. Take us through your story because, you know, a lot of these can be quite inspiring. You never know who's listening and it could spark something within them to maybe learn a little bit more about our faith journey. So take us through the beginning. What was your inspiration to join our faith?
Well, I was raised Protestant and I'd say I was raised in both Protestant Christianity and Judaism. My mother is a Jew by birth, but her religion is Christianity. My father as well, Christianity. But my sister and I were raised in both of those religious traditions while we were growing up, mostly Protestant with Judaism in the background. And, you know, the thing that kind of characterized our upbringing was, you know, this was mostly stemming from like a Pentecostal to like a non-denominational Christian tradition. But the thing that characterized our background growing up was we kind of bounced around a lot. We went to a lot of different quote unquote churches that we felt aligned with us at a particular time. My parents, of course, steering the ship in that regard. And you know, I've nothing against them for doing that in any way. Of course, we didn't know better. I didn't even know Catholicism was an option for religion up until I was late into my teens and early in my adulthood. So Christianity as I knew it was fractured. It was my own perspective was my parents had the most airtight version of it. So we're basically trying to find the church that aligns with my parents. And the longest we spent at a church would be like probably like 5 years. And then, you know, there'd be some sort of issue where we bounce around. But, you know, back then I didn't really think about it back then, of course, because I have Catholicism in my perspective or anything. But what my parents were doing was almost a very Catholic thing, not the church hopping part, but trying to find the most clear alignment with church and Bible in a community that they were navigating. So basically how we interpret it as Catholics is, you know, which church best professes the religion as laid out in divine tradition and revelation. So it left me with a bad taste in my mouth. I felt like, you know, Christianity is really divided, and later in my teen years, I was kind of pulling away. And then I met my wife, and she was a lapsed Catholic, had no intention of going to the Catholic Church. And she and I started kind of hungering for a more traditional religion, and one that, you know, I had a heart for Judaism and for a Jewish Messiah that I couldn't find anything that fulfilled that like longing in Protestant Christianity. So she and I started practicing Judaism for a short time, a short season, thanks be to God. But eventually around the same time, a friend of mine was kind of doing the same thing, but with his Catholic roots, and meeting him for coffee one day, I saw his scapular poking out of his collar, and for some reason it converted me. I was like, I want to be Catholic. I had no formal upbringing in Catholicism, only the conversations he and I had. But seeing that scapular, I saw all my longing for tradition, for authority, for alignment with divine revelation, for what it would mean for the Jewish Messiah to be God in the flesh, what he would leave in his wake, what kinds of things that, like tangible things that he would leave for us to connect to them, aka the sacramentals and sacraments. And that really converted me. And I would say that started my intellectual conversion, which lasted about a year.
One of the things that I have found with a lot of people these days is they're trying to find that thing that can connect them to the purpose that is life. They want to find happiness. They want to find joy. They want to find that connection of their purpose of living. And what the theme that I have found is that many jump around from faith to faith to faith to faith looking for that thing. What is it with you? I mean, it seemed like you have bounced from faith to faith to faith, kind of going down the list. What was it that made it just click? I mean, you said that you saw the scapular on your friend's neck. But I want to know, what was it that was like, there it is. That's what I've been looking for my whole life. After you've looked at all your other options that you have out there.
Yeah. I guess the key word is fulfillment. And I was looking for a religion that mirrored the fulfillment that I felt Christ came to bring. Fulfillment in truth, fulfillment in ritual, fulfillment in my own life personally. So with Christianity, with Protestant Christianity and Judaism, of course I say Christianity, but you know, Catholicism is the fullness of Christianity. With Protestant churches and Judaism, there's this striving to reach that fulfillment, to latch on to it, like I said, in truth and ritual and in your own personal life. But there's no like centralizing, galvanizing force like that's clearly showing that this is the way. This is the way that he set out to give us. With Judaism specifically, there's a lack of like a centralizing authority, a unit of structure that just validates the tradition, the way that you're worshiping, the way that you're interpreting scripture. So it can be just as fractured as Protestant Christianity. So that just kind of just left me in the same at the same loss as I had growing up as a Protestant Christian. But when I saw that scapular, we have this this Savior that came. He emptied himself of his divinity, at least the appearances of it, and became man, became a little baby, lived a life fulfilling the law, fulfilling the prophets, and then eventually dying and unfilling his body of all his blood and paying this immense price for our mm-hmm. salvation and for the creation and birth of the church. And yeah. I couldn't fathom that he would do all that and leave me with like a fractured picture of how to get back to him.
Oh, well, and, let's stop here for a minute. Let's pause. We're going to take a break, Stephen. We're going to continue this conversation, this story, when we return from the break, because we're not done yet. Just goes to show you never know who's watching. That necklace around your neck, that crucifix around your neck, that scapular around your neck, it made a profound impact on Stephen. We're going to continue the story. It is 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
The top of the hour, and welcome back to Wake Up. We're continuing our conversation with Stephen Nelson, Catholic convert and author of the book, The Magdalena Prayer Book. We're going to maybe touch on that before this segment is over, but we're going to dive back into Stephen's conversion. Stephen, I'm intrigued by the fact that you saw the scapula. The scapula, it was given to St. Simon Stock back in 1251. It's a product of something our Blessed Mother gave the saint. And you being Protestant, I'm kind of wondering, where were you at with that? Did that have an impact? Because Mary's not necessarily at the top of the list when it comes to Protestant faith.
Yeah, exactly. I think Scott Hahn once said, like, what are the three things that keep you from Catholicism as a Protestant? They're Mary, Mary, and Mary.
But
for me, it was easy. You know, I don't know. I think it may be is because of the Judaism in my background. But I could just see, I could see quite clearly of her fulfillment or her position in the fulfillment of prophecy. Mm-hmm. And in the fulfillment of the Jewish religion and in my longings as a Protestant. It made sense to me. Of course, the scapular is interesting because it kind of resembles the Jewish tzitzit, which are like it's tassels that you wear under your clothes as a Jewish man before you get married.
Sure.
And then that changes to a prayer shawl, basically over your shoulders when you're praying at temple. So it was just like a really bizarre version of the tzitzit, and I was like, "What is that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's my scapular." I can't really explain it.
That's okay. Do you wear one today?
Oh, I sure do. Yeah.
Okay. And is it the brown scapular?
Yes.
Okay. Amen, brother. So do I. What about a bar mitzvah? How close were you to that?
Well, I never got too close to that because my parents, while my mom was Jewish, my parents were practicing Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You're kind of persona non grata in like the rituals of the temple if you believe that Jesus is Messiah. So we never got, my sister never got bat mitzvah. I never got bar mitzvah. But you know, later on in life as a young adult, I sorely wished I had that, of course, because I wanted so long to be Jewish, but little did I know like what that meant was to become Catholic.
Okay. So how old were you when you converted to the Catholic faith?
So 2009 was when we converted. I had this conversion in 2008. So I was 16 years ago. I'm 37 now, so 22.
Okay. So you're still a rather young age, really. A lot of Catholics don't discover their faith until they're in their mid to late 20s.
Yeah. Well, I was still young. It was a year before my wife and I got married, so we were able to convert, she was able to revert, and then we were able to get married in the church.
Well, that's great. Now, so all of a sudden, you're on fire for the Catholic faith. You're on fire for God, and you're wanting truth. You're wanting tradition. You're wanting trust. What happens? What's going on in your life, and how are you continuing to grow in your faith to this day?
Yeah, so I would say my conversion started as an intellectual conversion. So I just started eating up every book I can get my hands on, every article of the faith, everything I could wrap my mind around. It was like a vast and endless banquet hall, you know, like all the stuff that you can be intellectually stimulated by as a Catholic. But I didn't really have a moral conversion until 2 years later, or my moral conversion started, I should say, because I'm very much so still daily morally converting towards being a saint, please God. But like, you know, the situation with the scapular, I met a friend at church who was a weird person, and he showed up to church every Sunday wearing a suit, and he had three kids and his wife in tow. I just, at the time, I was like, that's so many kids. But like, now I have six, so it's like nothing. But he was wearing a suit every time he went to mass, even daily mass. I had seen him there, and I was just like, this guy is so weird. I just got to talk to him. And I started talking to him, and right away I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to be a saint. Like, this must be what it feels like. And through a friendship with him and through other men who I met through him, it just showed me like, okay, there's much more than like the intellectual fulfillment I'm getting. There's this like transformation that can and needs to happen. And like I said, like I'm still going through that transformation, and there's been seasons in my life. I'm just getting out of one, or like climbing up towards the next one, really, where I feel like, oh, I'm in another conversion moment, a deeper conversion. And and it's just like Gabby said, it's like you never know who you're going to find out there. And by the simple act of, you know, not tucking your scapular or forgetting to, or wearing a suit to mass as a young man, like, you never know who you're gonna get.
So good. We got about a minute left. I want to at least touch on your book, your prayer book. How did that come about? And also, what is the purpose? I'm sure you didn't write it just for yourself.
Yeah. So the Magdalene Prayer Book is a product of my apostolate, Gaudens et Angeli. So it's really a labor of love of multiple parties. But we came up with the idea during the pandemic, when most of our churches were in the LA area. So all of our churches had their doors shuttered. So we couldn't go to any mass, any confession, no sacraments at all for many, many days. And during that time in these virtual masses, we were told, you know, by our priests and pastors to make spiritual communions, to make acts of perfect contrition if you need to go to confession. But there really wasn't any catechesis involved around that. So we dug in, found a lot of information that the Council of Trent put out that really clearly and warmly presents the case of what it means to make an act of perfect contrition and spiritual communion. So we started putting the book together then. Of course, we're releasing it, and we released it in 2024, so we're a little too late on the other side of the pandemic. But there's so many instances in people's lives where sacraments are either scarce by virtue of them being sick or not being able to get to confession, or maybe they just can't find a reasonable time to get to confession, an appointment time.
Okay.
So,
Stephen.
That's where that book came from.
Well, that's great. And it's a book that, one, I think people do struggle with a good contrition prior to confession and even after. So maybe pick up the book, the Magdalene Prayer Book. Stephen Nelson, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your conversion story. It's been a blessing for all of us today.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure.
Have a great day. And
you too.
Okay. All right. Boy,
very nice.
Impactful hour, to say the least. And we're going to wrap up with a prayer to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Glorious Saint Joseph, spouse of the Immaculate Virgin, attain for me a pure, humble, charitable mind and perfect resignation to the divine will. Be my guide, my father, and my model through life, that I may merit to die as you did in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time with Johnny Aber. He has a wonderful reflection on tomorrow's gospel. Don Moore, Catholic businessman, will talk about his devotion to Catholic business leaders. Father Jamin David talks about the Way of the Cross devotion and so much more. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton and David Dawson, our video technical director for directors for today's show. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.